Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 204, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart, though life seems vain. Burdened with anxious care, I groped in dark despair, till in thy house of prayer all was made plain. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 204.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the second chapter of the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 2. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ruth chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why? Have I found grace in thine eyes, seeing thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At meal time come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean, even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where hast thou wrought? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law and with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said also unto me, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz, to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law so far in the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O look thou upon each and every one of us, for we may read thy precious word, how that thy work which thou didst begin, thou didst also continue, and how thou didst guide step by step, how that thou didst lead into that blessed field of Boaz, wherein she that was hungry, that she that had desire, she in whom thou hadst planted love, she may be brought into that field of Boaz. Lord, there she may glean. And thou didst, there it was commanded concerning her, that handfuls should be left of purpose for her. Lord, remember each and every one of us. And we are also this day upon the field.
And thou knowest also those that come up here and that have a desire to come unto the house of the Lord, that they may receive a blessing out of thy heavenly store. All thou alone can give us love and desire and life. Thou alone can draw us out of mob. And when thou wilt draw our soul, then thou wilt also feed it. And when there may be such also in the midst of us, wilt thou give us that privilege that we may leave some handfuls on purpose for them. But Lord, we do not know where that they are, but thou dost know. And thou knowest just what to prepare for them. Therefore thou knowest the longing of the soul, and thou knowest the need and that is placed in the heart, for it is placed by thee. Could it please thee to look upon that people whom thou hast called out of nature's darkness into thy marvelous light? Eyes open to see, but so often seeing only darkness, with a desire to be reconciled, but do not know the way. And that second person so hidden, Lord, when thou wilt show him, when thou wilt reveal him, when thou wilt give just a little light, when thou wilt give thy face to look through the lattice in this day of thy holy word, oh, then they may be able to see thee. Lord, remember them. Encourage by granting the gifts even of that greater boast upon thy own field, that they may come again and again. When the food that is gone again, that it no more has the power and the sweetness, and when it is but a memory again, and when the heart that does long for more, and when it comes again upon that field, may it be even in this afternoon hour, then, Lord, we beseech thee that thou would feed it, and that the meek, that they may eat and be satisfied, but also that thy children, that they may also receive something, even as Naomi may eat of that which was brought from Boaz. Lord, that thou may supply for all thy people who cannot supply for themselves, for it is an afflicted and a poor people who will be given to trust in thy name. Do look upon all those that are sent to bring thy word into this world. Lord, increase their number. When in the months to come, then we are to meet as a curatorium, we beseech thee and may thou work, that we may receive thy favor, that we may be gladdened with thy deeds, for the welfare of our congregations and the mission field, that thou may supply for all the vacant congregations, and that thou may stand on the right and on the left of all those whom that thou hast sent into this world to bring that everlasting gospel. Do thou look upon thy church and all those that have a difficulty to come up to worship, because there is persecution, wilt thou supply, and all their needs, and bring thy word to the ends of the world, and give the falsehood to be put down and the truth to be lifted up, and that many may be converted unto thee, and that we and our children would not be left behind. Be with all that rule and reign us. Wilt thou grant an increase in the number of those that fear thy name in those places, and give to feel the great responsibility, that they may be given to bow their knees before thee. Look upon us also in this coming week, when the classes will meet. Wilt thou be on the right and on the left to give traveling mercies unto all the delegates? And wilt thou give us wisdom and discretion and brotherly love in the midst of that meeting? And wilt thou help us also when we are called to bring thy word also in this week? Wilt thou look also upon us as a congregation, and when we hope also to gather with the male members of our congregation, and that an office bearer may be officially elected among us? Lord, may thou supply for us, and wilt thou be in our midst, wilt thou thyself show who that thou dost appoint, and whom that thou will qualify for this labor, and wilt thou give an agreement also in the heart, when so it becomes in the life of a young man. Wilt thou look upon all the afflicted, and the little child that again must go to the hospital in this coming week, for that procedure he has received so many times in his young life, wilt thou supply again, and further make all things well for him? And wilt thou look upon all that are in the hospitals, and all the afflicted and the needy ones in this world? Cause the afflictions of this life to bring us to thy footstool. Remember parents, remember husbands and wives. Wilt thou be in those places where there are difficulties in marriages? Lord, that thou thyself may resolve them. And wilt thou show that thou hast still regard to thy institution, that it may not be broken down in the midst of this world and in the midst of this church, and that thou may look upon parents in the bringing up of their children, our school, and all that labor therein, and therefore wilt thou provide the means that are necessary, and thy blessing upon all of those labors, be with all that are in the prisons, the innocent and the guilty ones. And wilt thou look upon all those that do come to the aid of those that are afflicted and sick also in our midst? Watch over and protect them in the dangers that they come in by times. Remember doctors, nurses, and all that care for the poor and needy. And give us hearts also to care for them. And once again, those that do suffer the losses of their loved ones in the midst of the disasters of this world. Lord, help. Where there are still those in great danger and those that need to be rescued, wilt thou supply and help from above? Go with us in this afternoon hour. Help us once again. Give us freedom, give us liberty to speak and to listen. Drive away the devil and all his cohorts. And wilt thou give us a good hour together in thy favor, in thy communion, with thy blessing, which is undeserved. Forgive our many sins. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 263, all stanzas. Unto God our Savior, sing a joyful song. Wondrous are his doings, for his arm is strong. He has brought salvation, he has made it known, and before the nations is his justice shown. We announce the following. Mr. Ben Van Hagenbos has joined himself to our congregation by doing confession of faith before the consistory. Henrietta Van Hagenbos, Neve and Munnen has come over to our congregation with certificate of membership from the NRC of Picture Butte. And we announce to the congregation that a male members meeting will be held on Thursday evening, March 17th at 7:30 p.m., for the purpose of electing a deacon. The consistory has set the following duo, Mr. David Arnold Dusen and Mr. Garrett Van Hagenbos. Psalter 263, all stanzas. No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, even as Aaron. What is congregation that honor and that the apostle speaks about? That is the office of the priesthood. Thus he says, a man must be called unto that office, because the offices, they are instituted by the Lord himself, and the Lord, he will place a man of his choosing in an office. That is a warning to the wicked. Who will, we read, presumptuously place themselves in an office? The Lord says, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness, yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. A warning. But there is also a great comfort. And what is that comfort? That is, for those who are called, who are placed in that weighty office, in the time that so much will come against it, as we can read it was with Korah, with Dathan and Abiram, and that Moses, that he had to say, if the earth that will swallow up these men, then you will know, and that the Lord hath sent me, and that I have done all of these things at his command. No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, even as Aaron. So that was also with the great office bearer. The Pharisees came to the Lord Jesus and said to him, whom makest thou thyself? Who gave thee authority to do these things? And they did not believe that he was sent by his Father, but they were mistaken. And that is what we wish to consider together in this afternoon with the Lord's help. Lord's Day 12, question 31. Lord's Day 12, only question 31. Why is he called Christ? That is, anointed. Answer, because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption, and to be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and makes continual intercession with the Father for us, and also to be our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation he has purchased for us. So far our Lord's Day, the anointing of the Son of God. First, what this anointing means, and second, the offices to which Christ is anointed. The anointing of the Son of God, first, what this anointing means, and second, the offices to which Christ is anointed. Last week, congregation, then we have considered together the name of the Lord Jesus, which is his personal name, children, his personal name, that is Jesus. That means Savior. Do we need such a Savior? That was our question for you. And now the next name and that our fathers take up for consideration, that is the name Christ. That is not the personal name, but that is the official name of the Lord Jesus, that name that means anointed. Thus, that name is speaking about his offices and his official work, his labors. These names, Jesus and Christ, they were not known to the saints of the Old Testament. They are first introduced in the New Testament. And yet the substance of those names, what they mean, that was known already from the beginning of time. Our catechism that asks, why is he called Christ, that is anointed? Because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost. Thus, what does the word anointed mean? We know in the Old Testament that kings and priests and prophets were anointed. So, children, you know that King Saul was anointed with a vial of oil. And you know that King David also was anointed, he with an horn of oil. And so we can also read of the prophets that Elijah did anoint Elisha, and that he may be prophet in his stead. Aaron and his sons, they were anointed to the priesthood. Anointing, what does that mean? It speaks about two things. The first is appointment. And the second is qualification. Appointment and qualification. And those are now two things that are a great comfort to the church of God. Appointed. That means chosen. And that means that I have not chosen myself, but that I have been chosen and placed in that position by someone else, appointed to it. And that is to be given that place by one who has the proper authority and right to do it. When David became old, then we read Adonijah, his son. He lifted himself up. He prepared 50 chariots to run before him. And he said that he would be the king. It was not long before Adonijah was on his knees before King Solomon, his brother. Why? Because the Lord had appointed Solomon and not Adonijah. And by way of the means, also David, who had the authority to do this, he also did appoint his son Solomon to sit upon the throne. It is not a light matter. When a person is chosen by a lawful means to serve in an office. Because to be chosen in that way, that is the manner in which the Lord is showing whom that he appoints to that office. That is also what must take place in our midst in the week to come. That is for the office of the deaconship. Thus we ask that the Lord will guide the hearts of those who may lawfully vote, that through those hearts the Lord may say, show which of these two men he has chosen. That is a great comfort when those men must take up their responsibilities in the office, that it has not been an office that has been sought for and taken by themselves. What a respect that David had for those who were in office. Saul would like to slay David, but David will not put forth his hand to touch the Lord's anointed, because it was the Lord's anointed. On the other hand, the Apostle Peter, he says that there are those that are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, he says, which are greater in might and power, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Thus, how is it also with us concerning the office bearers in the government, in the church? How do we speak of them also even in the midst of our families, our young people, our children? Is it so that the Lord, when he appoints someone, that person is always necessarily a man who truly fears the Lord? That is not so. It was not so with King Saul. And the Lord also had a reason, a purpose, that he has even put a Judas into an office, and yet he remained appointed by the Lord himself, the Lord in control. Do those that are appointed ever err? Certainly. Even to the point that they must be removed from an office, because in this world there is no perfection, also in the church of God. But how we go about such a thing is of great importance, because it is an office to which the Lord makes his appointments. And what is now especially the purpose of those offices? That is for the gathering of his church. That is for the gathering of his elect far and wide from east to west in this world, for the building up of his kingdom, for the conversion of sinners. That is not the work of man. That is the work of the Lord. And therefore his officers he will place. Are not those offices significant? Are not those offices also a very great blessing? That the Lord will have dealings with us and with our children. Why is he called Christ? That is anointed. Because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost. What did the Lord Jesus say? He says, I came not of myself, but he that sent me is true. Thus, the Lord Jesus was conscious of his divine appointment. I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. The Lord Jesus was conscious of this appointment even as a child. And when he did answer his mother, saying, wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business. The Jews did not believe that the Lord Jesus was sent from God, that he was anointed. They still do not. But the Lord Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think to have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And indeed, if you will believe Moses, if you believe the words of Moses, then you must also believe me, he says, because he spake of me. Because I am the fulfillment of what he spoke in his laws, in the shadows, in the types. Now there is coming a day that the Jews, they also will believe in him. Why? Because he is able to graft them in again. And if we believe not, the Lord Jesus says, ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. How will it be with us? When they will come to believe in him. Christ was appointed. Christ was appointed by his own Father for the work which he did and which he still does. Who has more authority to make such an appointment than God the Father? Is there any one of us that is able to say unto him, what doest thou? And are we able to argue with him without blasphemy? Thus, who has more authority than God the Father to make this appointment concerning his own son? And who has more wisdom to make such an appointment? Is there anyone that knows better than he? Will that not actually be in the end the rejoicing of the church of God? Rejoicing in his wisdom, or the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of God? Who hath been his counselor? Or who has more authority to make such an appointment? Who has more wisdom to make such an appointment? And what is that work for which he has made this appointment? That is the work of salvation. That is the work of redemption. Is that not a great work? That is the work to deliver a man from sin. That is the work to earn eternal life for his people. That is the work to reconcile a man again with God. Is there any greater work to be performed in this world? Is there a work that is of more significance? Is there a work that is more important? Is there a work which will be more to the glory of God for all eternity than this work? Why was it necessary that he should appoint someone? That God the Father should appoint someone to that work? that was necessary because of our fall. It was necessary because we are not able to do that work ourselves. Because of man's utterly fallen state, because of man's inability. Can there be any hope for you or me outside of such an appointment? When that appointment was not made by the Father, every one of us and our children would have to perish. Or is it not great wonder that the Lord has made such an appointment? Is it not an evidence of the love of the Father that He has appointed someone to do that work? Jeremiah speaks about the love of God unto His church. And what kind of love is that? He says it is an everlasting love. It is a love that was everlasting. It is a love that is everlasting. From everlasting to everlasting. But that love also became manifest. That love also is shown. How is that shown? Or is that love not manifest in this appointment? That He has appointed someone in the inability and in the fall and the dead state of man to do this great work? In His wisdom, in His authority, whom has He appointed? He has appointed His own Son. He has not appointed angels. He did not appoint any other creature, any special creature in this world. No, He chose His own Son. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Thus, He elected him in His perfect sovereignty. No counsel from anyone outside of Himself. No advice from any creature. But purely in His sovereignty and purely in His good pleasure, He has chosen, He has elected, and He has appointed His Son for this work. When was that appointment made? That appointment was made in eternity. That appointment was made already before the fall, before creation. In the stillness of eternity. Paul says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Thus, chosen His Son. Why did He appoint His Son? Is it not because of who He is? Is it not because of His qualities? Is it not because of His attributes? Why did He appoint His Son? Is it not because of the love of the Son? Is it not because of the willingness of the Son? Is it not because of the power of the ability of the Son? Is it not because of the faithfulness of the Son? Or why did He appoint His Son? Is there any like Him? Is he not the great delight of his Father? Is not this he in whom that he is so well pleased? Thus our fathers say, he is ordained of God the Father. He is appointed. He is appointed to that great work, the work of salvation. Never was there an appointment in this world as this appointment. Never an appointment of greater significance. Never an appointment of greater importance. He is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost. Thus, in that anointing, that speaks actually of the ordaining, but also of the qualifying. What does it mean to be qualified? Well, to be qualified means to be given all of the necessary gifts and abilities to do that work that we are appointed unto. The offices, they require special gifts. And the Lord is giving those gifts unto those whom he is appointing. What did the Lord do? We read when he appointed Saul to be the king, then he gave unto him another heart. What kind of heart was that? That was a ruling heart. He gave him the gifts that were necessary to do his labors in his office. What is necessary? Love, wisdom, gravity, discernment, faithfulness, humility, diligence. But Saul, he missed what, children? He was given another heart, but he missed a new heart. And in a certain sense, that new heart that is distinct from that office, from those official gifts, and yet this is what makes a man the most qualified. To be anointed, to be given gifts. When does the Lord give those gifts? Often he gives those gifts as when they are necessary. The Lord called Jeremiah, and Jeremiah says, I am but a child and I cannot speak. And the Lord called Moses also, and he says, I am of a slow speech and a slow tongue. Did they have gifts? They did. They didn't see them. That is good. The Lord, he must hide them. Why? Because we can't handle it. We can't handle it to see them because we would lose then the gift, the greatest gift of humility. Ordained by God the Father, anointed with the Holy Ghost. Thus the Son, he also was given gifts that were necessary to fulfill his offices. Say the Son of God. Did the Son of God not have all the qualities already that were necessary to do his work? No. Why not? Because love and willingness and power and faithfulness, those were not enough. Something more was necessary. What else did he need? You know the children? He needed something else. He needed a body. A body. Did not have a body. No, he was a spirit. As the Son. In eternity, he was a spirit. Just as the Father and the Holy Ghost are spirits. Thus, he needed to be given something else. That is a human body and a human soul. He needed to become incarnate. And for this work, the Father has given unto the Son qualifications. Not only appointed him, but he has given him every quality that was necessary to accomplish his work. We read he is anointed with the Holy Ghost, and that without measure, that he may be filled with that Holy Spirit. And he was upheld, promised assistance by his Father, and as Isaiah says, upheld by him. Why is he called Christ, that is anointed? Because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost. Paul says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is anointed for this. The anointed Savior, whom the Father has seen fit to choose and to qualify, that he may do all of this work that he has decreed from eternity. And was the Father disappointed in his Son? Oh, the Father says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And now are we disappointed in that Son? Or are we also well pleased in him? Let us sing. Three and four. This, his word shall be made known. This, Jehovah's firm decree, thou art my beloved Son, yea, I have begotten thee. All the earth at thy request, I will give thee for thy own. Then thy might shall be confessed, and thy foes be overthrown. Then thy might shall be confessed, and thy foes be overthrown. The last two stanzas of Psalter number 3.
Thank you.
congregation, Naaman the Syrian, was afflicted with one of the most dreadful diseases of his time. And what disease was that? That was the disease of leprosy. And why was that leprosy so dreadful? It was a dreadful disease in and of itself. It was painful. It was deteriorating to the body. And it was progressive, continually getting worse. But in a special way, there was no cure. No cure. That means that the physicians, they had such a limited value. What a helplessness that this man in that day finds himself to be in. Though he is sitting in great power in this world next to the king. Perhaps there is no army that is stronger than his army and who he is not able to overcome. But leprosy that is stronger than he is. And the message of that leprosy, that is to him the message of death. And Solomon says that there is no man that has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither has he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. Leprosy is a picture of sin. A picture of sin. And that is now an awful disease. That is a disease that has no cure. Did you ever feel the awfulness of the disease of sin? Paul speaks to the Ephesians of a man who is dead in trespasses and in sins. Sometimes you say, young people, that means I can do nothing. You say that is so discouraging. I think it is useless to try to come to church, to read the Bible, to pray. If the Lord will convert you, you will try. You will try. Why will you try? Because of love. Because of love to the Lord, then you will not be able to just sit back anymore. But more and more, you will have to learn and to live out the reality of your disease. That is the nature of that disease. The nature of sin, the debilitating nature of sin, and that it is incurable. How helpless that a man does find himself to be under this disease. No power to rid it out of my heart and life. Though the desire that burns within the heart, read Romans 7. And the wages of sin, that is death. The instruction of the Holy Spirit, that is, that it goes more and more unto death. There came a day that in that great house in Syria, there was a very little voice heard. In the midst of this suffering, this miserable and this despairing condition of this man, it was not a great, it was not a magnificent event. There was no shouting. There was nothing attention getting about what had taken place. It was just a little voice. It was the voice of a little girl. A voice such as this world would not care to stand and to listen to, perhaps for a moment. But that little voice that has brought an indescribable hope in the life of this suffering captain of the host of the king of Syria. Never did a message come with such power and such sweetness unto this man as that message that he heard from that little girl. And in that moment, a hope and an expectation was born in his heart that he never had before. No, that was not an assurance, but in his heart, there was a who can tell. It must be our interest to know now what that little girl has said and what has now produced such a great change in the life of this mighty man. And what has that girl said? Would to God, my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Of whom did that little girl speak? She spoke of one that was anointed. She spoke of one that was anointed by the Lord, who was appointed by the Lord, who was qualified by the Lord. It was that appointment, it was those qualifications that drew the heart of Naaman, that gave to Naaman hope. And there was now not a single effort that was spared by Naaman that he may now come before this great prophet. From that moment, he was all his hope and all his expectation. And now we'd like to ask a question. Are there now those in our midst who are not a stranger of that little voice? We read of Elijah. The Lord was not in the wind. The Lord was not in the earthquake. The Lord was not in the fire. But he was in that still, small voice. And the Lord Jesus says that the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. It is between the Lord and your soul. And it is not with a mighty outward show in the midst of the world and in the midst of the church. But when the Lord will reveal himself unto his despairing people, it is often by a single word, by a single sentence, by a single phrase, by a single verse, by a single stanza. But that little word, that little word that is given an entrance into the heart of that despairing people. And there is a power, and there is a sweetness, and there is a suitability that is experienced in that little word that they have never known before in their life. And in it, they receive a hope. That is now a hope by which that people, as name in the Syrian, will not be put to shame. What is it? What is it that faith in that moment actually takes hold of? What is it that is actually to the encouragement of that soul? We do not say that our people can explain it. We do not say that even in their mind there is a distinction of those matters in that moment. But it has to do with the anointing of the Son of God. Because that eye of faith is given for a moment in whatever way that the Lord is doing it. That eye of faith is given for a moment to behold the appointment of the Son of God by the Father. That this is just the cause for which that Son of God was appointed to save my soul from sin. For the Son of Man is come, why? To seek and to save that which is lost. And that Son of God, he is given offices, three. And we have no more time. So hopefully next time. But the soul that sees something that is official, that it is by a divine appointment, and it is that official nature of that work that gives that people a certain reliance and strength. And not only in the appointment, but also in the qualifications. That they may see something, however small, that they may see something of his ability over against all their own inability, that they may see something of what our fathers do say here. Why? Why is he called Christ? That is, anointed. Because he is ordained of God the Father. And anointed with the Holy Ghost. What a hope. What a hope is now born. For such a miserable case, Ruth came all the way from Moab. With what? With a desire that the Lord had planted in her heart. You have that desire too? Thy people, my people. Thy God, my God. We read it together. She received from Boaz all those gifts out of his hand. But Boaz was still a stranger. Till one day, it was not by might, and it was not by power, and it seems not a great and significant and magnificent matter in this world, but it was her mother-in-law. And what did she say? Ruth, he is near of kin to us. One of our next kinsmen. Everything changed in that day. Oh, what a hope was born in her heart. That desire, thy people, my people, thy God, my God, through this man could yet be fulfilled. Why? Why is he called Christ, that is anointed? Because he is ordained of God, the Father. And anointed with the Holy Ghost. Congregation, what lives in your heart? What lives in your heart? Do you have a desire in your heart as Ruth's desire? And do you have a despair in your heart as Naaman's despair? Can you not be converted? Can you not be forgiven and able to stand before the judgment seat of God? Can it not be washed? Can it not be cleansed? Can it not be renewed? Can you not be reconciled? Why? Why is he called Christ, that is anointed? Because he is ordained of God, the Father. And he is anointed with the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because the Father knew. He knew that you can't do it. Because he knew how deep that fall is. And so he has appointed his only begotten Son. He had authority. Now that Son has authority. because he is appointed. And that son, he has ability because he is qualified. All from whom? From his father. That is now why that son, he says, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who hast appointed, thou who hast qualified, thou who art appointed and thou who art qualified, draw us. Oh, give that people to come, Lord, who labor and are heavy laden. Thou knowest where they are. They are a people with Ruth's desire. They are a people with Naaman's despair. Oh, seek them out and draw them and do give them to know what Ruth and what Naaman may yet experience. Wilt thou bring us safely to our places? Remember us in the rest of this day. Give us to keep thy day holy. Forgive all of our many sins. And wilt thou instruct us in thy truth and give that it may be the thought and the meditation of our hearts in the week to come. Help each one in our place in this world. For Jesus' sake. Amen. 17, 3, 4, and 5. Jehovah will a refuge prove, a refuge strong for all oppressed, a safe retreat where weary souls in troublous times may surely rest, in troublous times may surely rest. 3 through 5 of Psalter 17. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.